This last week, some of you heard it, I fell. That was true, but that was not the problem. And what took place this week was my heart rhythm got way out of whack, went down. Matter of fact, at one point when they're measuring it, it was at 35. I happened to be in the restroom over in the other building, and it got so low I just passed out. And yes, I fell, hit my head. Broke the trash can just a little bit and evidently hit my knee pretty hard because it hurts. And so what they've done, it's kind of interesting, something they actually talked to me about before. What they've done is they've, one thing, given me medication to keep the rhythm down, but then also they put into me a new device. It's a pacemaker. They did not want to put an external one in with leads into the heart anymore. And so they put in a new one. If you look at that thing right there, it's that's what's in my heart right now. Put a few feathers on that and a line, you got a good lure. I don't know if you can see the hooks on it. It's about the size of a capsule, maybe, I don't know, 3/4 inch long, maybe as big around as a pea, a small pea. It's just amazing. It's just completely all in one little piece, sets down in the, matter of fact, right about right here inside of my heart. And so if the rate gets too low, that kicks in. Otherwise, it just lays there. Interesting stuff, amen? We don't need to look at that anymore. It was interesting that this last week, just before I went to the restroom, I had just... Well, not completely, but I'd finished working on Sunday school lesson. And I put together, this is called Google Slides. What it amounts to is I can do some things where you can see what's going on. And so the series I'm doing right now is called Search the Scriptures. And, you know, I feel like a short person right now. I can see eyeball to eyeball and see what's going on. This is a different view of Q. From here, I can see if your eyes are open, man. Better be careful. But I've entitled this Search the Scriptures. And basically what we're doing is looking at the many different doctrines in the Word of God. And we find, of course, doctrine means teaching. And we find that there are so many things that we need to understand about the Word of God that we might... understand who God is. And if we're going to know anything of spiritual value, we must find it from the Bible. Is that not true? We have two great books. We've talked about that in the past. We have two great books. I sometimes call the book of creation, and that is what God made everything, and we can look out at all what some people call nature. Isn't it interesting? Father God created it, but they call it Mother Nature. But we can look at all of that, and we can see the glory of God as He declares in the book of Psalms, but there's so much about God we cannot know by just looking at His creation. So He's given us His Word, and so we need to be a people who search the Scriptures. John chapter 5, verse 29 teaches that especially. We find, that, of course, that it's the Holy Spirit of God that has authored the Scriptures. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of God, the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." I find that a tremendous verse. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Some people say, well, did God dictate all of these words, or did men put words down of just the thoughts of God? I believe they're the words of God. Amen? Words are important. And if it's just the thoughts of God, then the next guy, he comes along and thinks God thought something just a little bit different, and the words change and all that kind of stuff. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4 says, "Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." So we have all these things revealed to us by the Holy Spirit of God. I find it tremendously amazing, exciting that we have this kind of person that we call the Spirit of God who teaches us all that sort of thing. Last week we looked at in 1 Corinthians and we found that there were three kinds of men. There's the natural man. He's unsaved, he's without the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that then there's the spiritual man, and he's saved, and the Spirit leads him through the Word of God. So here's the kind of man I believe ought to be our goal. There's another one called the carnal man, and we believe from what it says that it's a person that's saved, but they've not had a whole lot of change in their life. There have been some, but basically they've not allowed God to have complete control of their life. So what kind of man do you want to be? I would hope you want to be number two, the spiritual person, amen? Allowing the Spirit of God to work in your life. So today our focus is upon the Spirit of God, who can change us into the spiritual person that we need to be. He's the one that can do that. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Isn't it interesting that we're made up of body, soul, and spirit, and we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we are made in His image, and that's a very similar thing there. And so we have a spirit. By the way, what is dead before we're saved? Our spirit. Huh? Our spirit is dead. Because what has to happen with a spirit needs to be enlivened, we find in John chapter 3. Isn't that true? And so we've been dead in our sin and trespasses. Our spirit is not alive to God. We're not in touch with God. We have a body. We have a soul. The body dictates to the soul, I want this, I want that, I want the other thing, and the soul goes after it. You get saved, and your spirit becomes enlivened. Well, we now have a conflict because the spirit is saying something, and the body's saying something, and the soul's got a choice to make. And that choice is either to listen to the Spirit of God or to listen to the fleshly appetites that are there. Well, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit of God is a part of, do you see that word there, Trinity? That word means triunity. It means God is in three persons. Does it make Him three persons? No, it makes Him in three personalities or within one person. You say, I don't understand it. I don't either. I used to think I understood that, but it's really quite complex. Little chart that I found, I thought was really good. You notice the three corners says the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And across that top line, the Father is not the Son. And down along the, that'd be the left side, the Father is not the Holy Spirit, nor is the Holy Spirit the Son. But the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And to me, it's just a simple little chart that makes it very clear as the relationship of the Godhead. And so we have this person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit of God, is the one who can help us to become a spiritual person. Now, each person of the Godhead is as much God as the other. But there are different distinctives concerning them. We'll study others. But we notice the Father, I just labeled it this way, the Father, He's the lawgiver, He's the lover of mankind, for God so loved the world. We find the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And then we find the Holy Spirit of God is the one who reveals to us the marvelous things of God. He opens that up to us, and He helps us to understand the spiritual things. And so when you and I come to the Word of God, we open up our Bibles, and we begin to read. He's the author of it. He knows what He wrote. Amen? He can also teach us of what it has to say. And so we need to be listening to the Spirit of God. Too often we listen to the spirit of men rather than God, and there is a difference. And allow Him to teach us from His Word. If we're going to allow the Holy Spirit of God to lead in our lives, I believe it would be good for us to know His part in the Godhead. Who is He? What is He? There are three great scriptures I want us to look at that reveal the working of the Holy Spirit of God. I'll look at the scriptures, and then we'll go back and just speak of them a little bit. You notice, first of all, John chapter 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is who? The Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name. You find the Trinity right here in this verse, don't you? The Comforter, which the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you what? all things. Do we believe the Bible? Yeah. So he's the one that's teaching, and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever is said unto you. I don't know about you, but I find it marvelous how after a period of time, we have read and we've read, and now all of a sudden we read this and something else comes back to us and remember, and we kind of put it together and we compare Scripture to Scripture. What's happened? The Spirit of God is leading us to understand His Word. It doesn't happen overnight, but my, what a marvelous God we have. So He is the one who's going to teach us all things, bring all things to the remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. We find another one, a more lengthy one, John chapter 16. And verse 7 down to verse 14. And notice what he says here. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Can you see that one? It's a little bit smaller font to get it all on one slide. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Who's the Comforter? The Holy Spirit of God. Okay. And so he says, when I depart, I'm going to send him to you. Now notice verse number 8. He says, when he is come, this is what he will do. He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Now he goes on to explain this a little bit. He says, of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. One of the ways you can tell the Spirit of God is working is when he's showing you great truth about, especially the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this verse is saying, or down in the last part of it. I don't know if you caught this, but he says, I've yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And so there's a growth process that takes place in our lives. But who knows that better than anybody else? The Spirit of God, does he not? And he's the one that can be our teacher. The great thing that happened in my life many years ago is I figured out that the Holy Spirit of God was much greater than any commentator that I could find. You go into my office, you'll find 5 or 6 shelves of books, and there's commentaries and all sorts of different materials that are there. And quite frankly, they're useless without the Spirit of God. They can tell you things, but the Spirit of God must teach us. Sometimes he uses those things, but we get our education from him. Notice the last scripture that we're going to look at. And it says here, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And so we find from these scriptures a number of things. We're going to look at, we're going to find that he is our convictor. He convicts us of what's wrong. We will find that he is our comforter. You know, I don't understand how people go through death in their family without Christ. I remember one time going to the, went into the ER, a person had just passed away, and the family was really, really upset. And the first one out the door was headed to the beer joint because he needed some comfort. That doesn't bring any comfort, does it? But he's our comforter. We will look at two other words, and I like to alliterate, helps us remember things. He is our coach. And then we will look at he is our conferrer. And I think of verses 8 through 10, especially here in 1 Corinthians. So first of all, the Holy Spirit as our convictor. In John chapter 16, we learn the Holy Spirit of God reproves us. That word reprove means to convict. Okay? It says you're wrong. How many like to be told you're wrong? You get excited. Huh? You sit in church and the preacher says you're doing wrong and you say, oh, yes, I'm so glad to hear that. Huh? Isn't that true? We don't like that, do we? But the Holy Spirit of God, that is a job of his. By the way, I'll say this to you, if you know the Lord as your Savior, the Spirit of God will take you in the right direction a whole lot quicker than your conscience. Some people say, let your conscience be your guide. No, let the Spirit of God be our guide. Because the Spirit of God will convict us when we're wrong a whole lot quicker than our conscience will. But there are three things that He convicts us of. And one of those is unbelief. He says, I'm reproving them because they believe not on me. So what's He going to do? He's going to show us our unbelief. Christian, when we sit in church service, when we pick up the Word of God, one of the things He's going to do to us, even though we're saved, is to show us the reason we're having problems because we don't really believe God. And so we have a problem of unbelief. And the Spirit of God, He's going to convict us in that. And you say, well, I don't like being told I'm wrong. But oh, listen, isn't it wonderful we can find out I'm not operating by belief that I might begin to do so? It's necessary for us. We find also, as the convictor in John 16, He says that He convicts us of unrighteousness. And He tells us there, because I go to the Father. You see, Jesus is the perfect one, isn't He? So what do we have to compare ourselves to? You and I, we compare ourselves with each other and we think we're pretty good. But the Spirit of God compares us in our hearts and our minds to the Lord Jesus Christ who'll be in heaven. He's comparing us to perfection. And guess what? When that conviction comes, we find out, I'm not so great after all. And so He's going to bring conviction of our unrighteousness and things we do wrong. And the last thing that He convicts us of is of coming judgment. That which is going to come about, He's saying, hey, listen, you need to pay attention because judgment is coming. The Spirit of God, He's doing that. He is our convictor. And we ought to be very, very thankful that He does that in our life and reproves us of those things that are wrong in our life. Not until we see our sinfulness and its deserved judgment will we ever get saved. Not until we see our sinfulness and its deserved judgment as Christians, we will never allow Him to sanctify us or to set us apart as He wishes to do. And so becomes the great convictor to show us the things in our lives that are wrong. But also, I'm glad of this, He's our comforter. Amen? When I was growing up, I can barely remember the first house I lived in. The second one, just a couple of things about it. But the third old farmhouse we lived in, I could take you to it right now. It's about 2 miles outside of Mineola. Had a big two-story structure. And we had it upstairs, had three bedrooms. It was big enough for four rooms. I don't know where the other one was at, kind of an attic type thing. And my sister and I was in a room, the two of us. And I remember that in the wintertime, there wasn't a whole lot of heat upstairs in that house. Any of you ever been raised in houses like that? Yeah. And you felt good if there was heat downstairs. Yeah. I remember the first time I went out to see Dan and Dina after they got married in a little house they lived in. And they had a wood stove in there and had a fan behind it blowing some of the air, trying to circulate a little bit. And about the only warm place in that whole house was the kitchen where they had that heat going on. And the rest of the house was fairly cold. I remember after he got it built, I said, Danny, how do you like your new house? He says, I don't have to comb my hair when the wind blows anymore. I'm saying all that to say this. One of the neat things in the middle of wintertime, you go up into that room and be cold, you run, you jump in bed, and you pull those covers up. And my mother was a quilt maker. And there would generally be two, maybe three quilts on that bed. I don't know how my little dog survived. She crawled down by my feet, which first of all ought to asphyxiate anything that ever lived. And then down there where I didn't think air could get to, but she made it through every night. But oh, how wonderful those comforters felt at night. Amen. And you get up in the morning, guess what you don't want to do? This feels really good right here. Amen. And so we want to just stay right there. And a great name for it, comforter. And I always think, that's what's in my mind when I think of the Holy Spirit as the comforter. that one who warms the soul, the one who gives to us that which is so often needed in our lives. Four times in three consecutive chapters, he is mentioned. Notice here, John chapter 14, verse 16 and 26, he says, I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you, how long? Forever. Hey, you've got this saying forever. Verse 26, the same chapter, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He's called the Comforter. Why? He's bringing us the Word of God. In chapter 15, he says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. What's the Comforter doing? Testifying of Christ. What can make our lives any better than Jesus Christ? Amen? And then lastly, in chapter 16, verse 7, it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. So what took place? The Comforter came. It's interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ met his disciples, and this is before the day of Pentecost, and the Bible says he breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. And they had now in their possession the Spirit of God working in their lives. And he has been sent to all of us. So we have the Comforter who is available to us. You have a problem? He comforts. One of the ways I think he comforts is through his word. He shows us what the truth is that we might say, hey, listen. He gives us comfort. Sometimes, who knows what it is? What date I have my feature? Thursday. You just never know what's going to take place. Minutes before they came in, before the operation and everything, which was fairly simple in itself, the doctor came in and he says, the anesthesiologist is really concerned about this because of your heart's not very strong and blah, 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 blah. And he says, now we can do something else or we can do this. And I said, we're not going back, we're going to do this. And but it kind of worked on the mind a little bit. What can go wrong? I don't know. And so I thought to myself, well, today might be my day to go to heaven. Who knows? So that thought is in my mind as I put that thing over my face and I take a couple breaths and I go into La La Land. And I'm not sure how long it was there, about 2 hours, I think, when I started coming to. How many have ever been in an operating recovery room? Aren't they about the most cheerful, wonderful place you can be? I woke up, all I could see was this white tiled ceiling and some lights up there and hearing people saying all sorts of dumb things, and couldn't see any walls because I was laying flat on my back. And my mind is not quite there yet. Don't say anything. It's working on me. And pretty soon I get the thought. And the thought is, I haven't died and going to heaven because this ain't heaven. Anyway, that was the comfort I got at that particular time. But God is good at that. Amen? If you've lost a loved one, you've known the comfort of God. If you've been through some trials in your life, you've known the comfort of God. And he's the one that surrounds us with his loving arms and really helps us through all of those things. Does it through his word. He does it through his people. It's an amazing thing. Listen, if you let God use you, he can use you in wonderful ways in this matter of comforting others. It's amazing. If we'll just open ourselves up to the needs of others rather than looking in the mirror all the time, and God can use us. But he also does that for us. Thank God for that. I've said this many times from a year ago. I talk about it in the way of grace of God. I knew the grace of God through medical staff, through my church, and through my family so very vividly. But God used each of those segments in my life as great comfort and just marvelous. how God uses people, how God uses His Word. He wants to comfort you. Amen? So if you have a problem, you feel the comforting Spirit of God, praise God for that. Well, we find something else. The Holy Spirit of God, I want to use the word teacher, but doesn't have a C. Unless we get to the fourth letter. And Holy Spirit as our coach. I kind of like that word coach. And the reason is, a coach is one that teaches and guides that we may gain victory over the opponent. Whoever that might be, or whatever that might be. And so He's the one who's going to teach us, He's going to guide us. And most of the time through His Word, again through people, through circumstances, He is the one who guides us. We find that the Holy Spirit of God calls to our remembrance those things that we need to retain. Again, chapter 14, verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." By the way, I'm going to take something from that verse as well and think about this. If we've not studied it, we've not read it, it's going to be hard to remember it. If you go to school and you sit down, you've not studied your materials, and you pray, "Oh God, help me pass this test," I think you're asking for the impossible, or what God's not going to bless you with. It's better if you can say, "God, help me remember what I studied." Amen? And I think that's true with the things of God. And He brings those things to our remembrance to take us through whatever it is in life. By the way, how many of you ever find that life is somewhat difficult? You got saved and somebody said, "Oh, it's going to be a bed of roses." Have you ever noticed what's on rose bushes? Yeah, it's a bed of roses, all right. Thank God for those smelly things called flowers, but the rest of it can be rather hurtful, if you so say. But God is the one who gives us His marvelous, marvelous comfort through all these things. He teaches us the truths of God. We've said it, but let's say it again. "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will..." Does that say might? What's it say? I got the right verse there? He will. Are you listening? He will, not might. "He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." So He's the one who will guide us into all truth. Okay? And He's not going to be doing it bragging about Himself. It's going to be really bragging about Christ. But He is the one who does that. He teaches us the truth of God. You come into church service, it doesn't matter who's preaching, what's being preached. The truth that God has must come from the Holy Spirit of God into your heart and mind. He's the one who opens that up for you. Amen? So, and here's a neat thing. If I'm led of the Spirit to say it in a certain way, and you're led of the Spirit to listen, it's marvelous what God can do. It's absolutely marvelous. And we can walk out saying, "My goodness, God spoke to my heart today." You had those times? I would hope you have. He's marvelous. He teaches us through the God. Well, we're going to go another step. And we get into something that a little bit difficult for people to understand. But the Holy Spirit of God, and I use the word conferrer. And the reason I use that, we find that He is the one who gifts us, who enables us, the one who's called alongside to help. He gives men different abilities as He deems best. Different abilities. Amen. How many in this room know what a steel guitar is? How many know? Huh? We got one in this room who can play it like nobody else. Most of you saw it with some other instruments, you might not be able to pick it out. Am I true? But Doc has a special ability in that musical thing. In fact, he was teaching Chris how to play the piano a while ago. I just loved it. But he has that ability. Quentin has the ability to fix anything with duct tape. Quentin, by the way, is one of the most quick-witted fellows that I've ever known. And it's been a tremendous blessing to me. There are a few times he sticks his foot in his mouth, but I know that show myself very well. Okay? But he gives us different abilities. And by the way, he gives us what he deems best. Something for young people they have a hard time with, and you can help young people with this. They want all of that that somebody else has, but God made them different. They're different. Each one is different. And all the abilities are different. Okay? By the way, you're responsible for yours. I'm responsible for mine. Our responsibility is to know our gift for service and use it to His glory. Okay? How is it God used me? What is it that you want out of me? So we have, He is the one who confers these things upon us. And we see a list of some of those. We sometimes call them the gifts of the Holy Spirit of God. If I count right, there are 14 of them listed in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. And we find prophecy, ministry. Most in this room, I doubt most of you are going to be prophesying, though if you take that in the realm of preaching, some of you can. Ministry, teaching, exhorting, ruling, having mercy, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, discernment, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Say, preacher, tongues? Yeah, God gifted people with some tongues. How many of you have one? How many of you have two? Oh, it's a joke, never mind. But He has these things for us. Each one has their purpose. We find it also interesting that in Ephesians 4:11, He gives to the church gifted people, gifted men. It says He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So are these particular people that are given to a local church. Now let's think about for a moment this morning. Of the gifts that are mentioned, for instance, one of the gifts that we can find in the Word of God is the gift of faith. How many in this room are to have faith? Is it some of you or all of you? All of us. If there's one amongst us that has great faith, what's that going to do for yours? It helps increase it, doesn't it? It encourages you in that area. Do you know that giving is a gift? But are not we all supposed to give? But when we can witness certain people as they give, not just finances, but just of themselves, how marvelous it is, it's encouragement to us that we might be enhanced in those things. You see, a gift is for an individual to bring profit to everybody within the church. And sometimes we fail to recognize that. And those who are in the tongues crowd, they think it's all about themselves. By the way, what's a tongue for? What do you use to talk with? It's your tongue. Matter of fact, if you go to the book of Acts chapter 2, it talks about the tongues on the day of Pentecost, and he names there 16 different languages. So what are tongues? Languages. We have people who are able to speak more than one language. Any of you like that? I met a nurse yesterday. She can speak Ukrainian and Russian. She says, she said, I'm the interpreter here when somebody of those nationalities need interpret, you know, whatever's being said. And you say she's got the gift of tongues. Well, she's not saved, and I'm not going to put it in that light, but it's very similar. We have operating out of our church a marvelous fellow, Brother Steve Ziner. He'll be with us in a couple months. And by the way, always stays in contact. And in fact, the day before the day of my whatever you call those procedures, he called me and had prayer on the phone. And I wish you could have heard him pray. Just man, it was exciting. Anyways, Brother Steve, works with many, many different people. He's down in Texas right now working with a translator. I don't even remember what language it is. And going over some principles of that and helping them so that they can use their tongues in another language. By the way, if you see tongues, interpretation of tongues, there's a difference between speaking and listening. It really is. So there is. If you've ever tried to learn a foreign language, you figure that out real quick. Have you ever had Spanish? You have, Jenny? Can you speak it or hear it better? Speak it better. I experience the same thing. I've been in Mexico, I've been in Costa Rica, I've heard them speak, and I'm thinking, slow down. I have no idea what you're saying. Once in a while I hear a word here and there, I snatch. But there's the interpretation of it. So we have these things that are gifts. We're all supposed to speak the truth of God, are we not? And how many nations are we to go to? All of them. Okay. And so we have many, many different gifts. Now, I am going to say this. There are some gifts that are no longer needed. And I believe some were delegated simply to the apostles. 1 Corinthians 13:8, notice what it says. Charity never faileth. I love the word charity. A lot of folks want to translate that love, and it is love. But charity, I always think of love as giving. It has a greater giving sound to me. I don't know about you. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, I'm going to tell you what I think this means. I believe this means that there were certain things in the very early days that the apostles and people needed to get across God's will of their life. But when the Word of God was written and it was completed, did they need anything else? No. If you were to get involved with our FBI, Faith Baptist Institute, you'd learn something that is quite amazing. There were three great periods in the history of the Jew especially where there were tremendous miracles. And an interesting notice, those miracles in the time of Moses. But whom did God use to write the first five books of the Bible? Moses. It seemed like those miracles authenticated what he did. There was another great time where there were many miracles. We think of Elijah and Elisha especially, but the prophets. And who did God use to give to us the prophecies of the Old Testament? And who authenticated them through all of those signs and wonders? Jews, by the way, require a sign. And then we find another period. It's the period of the apostles. And we find, again, there are many miracles that take place during that time. And so I think there were some things that were delegated especially to the apostles. In the book of Mark, it talks about they would basically handle snakes and not get bitten. And so we find there's churches, especially down south, they get a box of rattlesnakes and open that thing up, and everybody dances around and grabs a snake, and if they have enough faith and belief, they never get bit. And I don't think that's what God's speaking of. By the way, can you remember something in the Word of God where somebody was bit by a snake and it did not do him any harm? And it spoke volumes to the people that were there? Was the Apostle Paul, was it not, after the shipwreck, was at the island of Melita? And so we find, I think, it's speaking especially of the Word of God when it's come into being. There's some things we don't need any longer. Just that way. And then notice this verse. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. By their hands. God used these men in some very, very special ways. And we find the gift of apostle to the church. We don't have apostles today, But we do have their writings. Most of them we call epistles. And they were authenticated, really, by some marvelous things. Matter of fact, there were some marvelous things that took place that helped them to understand the will of God. Remember Peter, when Cornelius sent his troops to get him, and he had that dream? You know, the great sheep of many different unclean animals that came down, he said, up, slay and eat. And so there were things of this kind of nature. What's God do? He gives us, so this is what we need to remember, he gives us abilities. You may have one, you may have several. It's for you to figure out what it is and use it for the glory of God. And you're using that gift will help to enhance somebody who doesn't have near as much as you do. But by the same token, something in their life will enhance you. That makes church pretty important, doesn't it? And so we begin to learn from each other, and we begin to rebound off of each other, and how God marvelously works in and through us as a result of all that. I don't know about you, but it's exciting stuff. God's good, amen.